Yeah, this week I initially had a different message planned. Today's Pentecost, and I was thinking, okay, I'll do this. I know I'll be guided towards this, and this will be a nice message. Well, something kind of happened later on, late in the week, that took me in another direction. I feel like maybe there's someone out here today, or someone that's going to be listening to this, that might need to hear it. At work, I've took a different position in the department I'm in. I'm up like one grade higher, and so I'm working with a team of nurses. And some of you may know, some of you may not, Greenville Hospital, the Greenville Health System, we're combining with the Palmetto System in Columbia. And it's a lot of things they're combining, and we're trying, a lot of stuff going on, budget and everything else. And so my boss asked me for, I need number of nurses trained in 2017, new nurses, basically A and B. So I asked the five folks I work with, I need A and B from 2017. They pop up and they give me these numbers, and I give it to my boss, who has a huge meeting with all the head knockers of the hospital system. Lo and behold, about 4 hours before the meeting, turns out what my coworkers gave me was 2016, 2017, and 2018, A to Z. So the numbers are all off. To give you an idea, my boss is from Tampa. She worked at Disney World. She played Snow White, so she's about this tall. Snow White was not happy. And to say I was a little frustrated was an understatement. I went straight from mad to laughing like a lunatic. And also, I was like a colorblind guy trying to play Twister. It was not a whole lot of fun. I was very frustrated. Boss's meeting, though, ended up going well. It was kind of in spite of us. My blood pressure came back down to normal, and thankfully, my brain stayed one gear ahead of my mouth, and I didn't end up saying what was really on my mind, and I'm a work in progress with some of my colorful language. So I ended up keeping what I was supposed to do, keeping everything in check, and got to thinking about there's something to be learned from this. And maybe this was a lesson that I need to learn, I need to speak about. And I thought that maybe the Holy Spirit was pointing this out for a reason. And I got to looking through Scripture, and I started praying for guidance. And all of us, there's not a person in this room that does not deal with frustration and disappointment on a fairly regular basis. We get frustrated. It's natural. Personal, work relationships, betrayal of trust, anger, unmet goals. They can all be reasons for getting frustrated, getting upset. And we're surrounded by some unreal expectations at work, as we're not going to give you anything to help you, but we want this, 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 and this done. And we're not going to give you extra resources. It doesn't matter what field you're in. Healthcare, construction, public education, law enforcement, more with less. That's just kind of the saying all the way across the country. And ladies are very affected by what the world tells you you're supposed to look like. Every magazine, there's something airbrushed, photoshopped. And it's frustrating when you don't meet those expectations. Kind of car we drive, you just name it. And people are flawed. We all are, you and me. We all have a sin nature and we all stumble. And during that time, we can break trust. We can get angry. We can do all kinds of things. And frustration can have bad physical and emotional effects on us. Some people just continue to get frustrated. Chronic frustration, it leads to chronic stress. And stress puts us in that fight or flight mode. So our bodies are getting poured with steroids and adrenaline and glucose. Headaches, stomach aches, high blood pressure, anxiety, ulcers, heart attacks, depression. Biblical figures, they got frustrated too. You think about Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, all got aggravated for different reasons. Even Jesus got aggravated and frustrated at times. And the scripture I was drawn to when I was trying to find the solution for my own frustration is a good example of how Jesus dealt with frustrating circumstances. He did a lot better than I would have handled frustrations, because that's what I was thinking on that Thursday. When you just can't wait for a fist fight Friday, throw punch Thursday. Scripture, it takes us into Mark chapter 9. And to set this up, Jesus and his disciples, James and John and Peter, had went to a remote mountaintop. And that's the first part of chapter 9. While they were up there, those three saw Jesus talking with Elijah and Moses. And now in the Jewish religion, you don't get any higher except for God than Elijah and Moses. They had that much of an impact. And they saw Jesus change. He was transformed, just glowing. And they heard the voice of God come down. A cloud came down around Jesus and Elijah and Moses. And God spoke out that this is my son. Listen to him. If you hear someone talk about the transfiguration in the Bible, that's what that's talking about. Anyway, they're coming back down. They go down to the village. And I'm sure Jesus probably had told his disciples, guys, just take care of it. Keep the shop. We'll be back down. When they got back down, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, the entire crowd saw him. And Jesus asked, "Were you discussing with him?" And I know he knew. And have you had a relationship with somebody that basically you just told them, just don't burn the place down? That's all I'm asking. Just don't burn it down. Don't mess the place up too much. How do you think it went with the disciples? Is it usually a good sign when you come back to work and there's a whole crowd coming towards you? It's never been for me. Never, ever. And especially when you were counting on someone else to do something. You got a feeling it's been done? Probably not. And I was wondering as I read through this if maybe Jesus was testing the disciples or teaching them or both. Because sometimes nursing students are put in the scenarios when they're being trained. And the nursing instructor will stand back. It's with simulated patients. They actually have mannequins that can talk to you, that can simulate a heartbeat, that can react, open their eyes, open their mouths, and will sometimes put them in bad situations to see how they're going to react. Because that mannequin will be fine no matter what. It's a way of training. And I'm wondering if Jesus didn't do that with them. We try to guide the students so that they learn from it, so they'll recognize it. And I think maybe he was doing that to help them. Father comes up. "And teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit that makes him mute, and tells the effects on him. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And he answered them and said, 'O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me.'" The first thing I noticed that Jesus, how he reacted to this conflict, he had a little healthy emotional venting. But he did in a good way. He didn't start off with, "You knuckleheads. I left you. I give you power to do all this. What's the deal?" But he did vent a little bit. He vented a little bit to show his displeasure. Venting can be a good thing as long as it doesn't turn into gossip. And it doesn't turn into, if you notice, he kept it more "I" than "you." So he was trying not to kill their confidence, but let them know that he was displeased with the situation. And I think he was displeased with their lack of confidence. in God and the power they had been given. And also, he didn't come out and say, this is what you need to do. He vented. And then he asked them to bring the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, he knew what Jesus was. It's so funny. The evilest spirits on earth knew exactly who Jesus was. The Pharisees and scribes, who had read about him for centuries, had no idea. And he asked, how long has this been happening to him? And take pity on, and the father told him, and he said, if you can help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. Jesus was very classy in this response. He was very classy. He understood the gravity of this situation, the physical and spiritual implications of all this. And he could have really been a smart aleck about it, but he wasn't. And also in this response, he showed another thing in dealing with frustrations. Take care of the most important problems first. It wasn't Jesus' ego. It wasn't the disciples' ego. Here is someone who needed help, and we need to help him. There'll be time for other stuff later, but this child needs help. He was suffering. That's what Jesus is here for, to take away the suffering. How many times have you been in situations where somebody, there's an urgent situation going on, you're frustrated, but they want to argue with you more than just straighten out the situation. Take care of what needs to be taken care of first. And I think most of us have been on both sides of that, where we've either been the ones trying to solve the problem or the ones trying to prove how we didn't make it wrong. And I think also, how many of us can identify with this father? That we have faith, but we may only have half a tank. And just not sure if it's enough. I found myself praying the same thing this father said before. Lord, help me overcome my unbelief when I ask for those things that seem impossible. God, please help me with my doubt. I don't know if this can ever be fixed, for situations a lot less than this father and son were going through. And many frustrations come from disappointment. I know this father had to be disappointed in the disciples not being able to heal his child. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and not to enter him again. And the spirit, after crying out, it came out of him. And he just went limp. And people were assuming and saying he's dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand, and he got up. And he healed him using the Holy Spirit and gave this boy back to his father. Jesus vented. He gave his time. He gave a little healthy venting, then he took care of business first. And he did in a way which made him and the disciples seem like partners rather than adversaries. And we start looking past, trying to place the blame. And we start looking back towards, what do we need to do to fix this? And that's hard for people sometimes. Because when something happens, I think sometimes we instinctively want to blame someone rather than, let's get the problem taken care of, and then we look at it. It's human nature. It's part of who we are. Taking care of it is the primary concern at that point, not how we got there. So while we're dealing with the main problem, we push it to the side of what caused all this. But now, when everybody had gone, his disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Final steps displayed here that Jesus had. Good, healthy venting without tearing apart the people you're working with. Take care of the problem at hand. And then talk it out. Discuss it. What happened and ways to keep it from happening again. And they asked him why they couldn't cast it out. And Jesus was telling them about prayer. And I think in prayer he meant confidence in God. That God could drive this demon out. Matthew 17:20, Jesus also said to his disciples, because of the littlest of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. And once the frustrating circumstances are over, the best time of reflecting on the event are when emotions are a little steadier, because everybody's real touchy while the conflict's going on. And the problem's been taken care of. It takes care of some of the stress. And if you try having a what happened talk while all the stuff's still going on, it's probably going to lead to an argument. Step back. You'll be a little bit more honest about what happened and what went wrong. Should be able to admit the part that we played. Sometimes we need to apologize and ask for forgiveness. And for those of us that tend to fix problems, we can offer solutions that might prevent this kind of problem from recurring. But this opens up kind of at a deeper level, because part of growing as a Christian is coming to terms with our own emotions. How hard is it to admit when you're wrong? To admit when you're flawed? Or what part you play in all this? In order to grow, we have to take a good long look in the mirror. And that can be a hard thing to do, to admit that maybe we had a fault in this. Like in my own situation, was I not clear enough? What could I have done to do it? That maybe I needed to look at myself versus being so outraged. And it's not easy. But honesty before God, you got to have it for spiritual growth. God knows what's in your heart. He wants you to admit what's in your heart to him. You don't have to be out here yelling at the street corner. But God, I need you. Psalm 51:6. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts, and you teach me wisdom in the innermost place. If we know God wishes us to open up to him, we can't go on living with our head in the sand. And you ignore his invitation, that's pretty well saying, no, I'm not doing this, God. A willful resistance to him. He wants to be in all parts of our lives. Not just the front porch. He wants to look into every closet, the attic, the basement, all the parts that we don't ask company to come to. I know that for us, when we invite somebody to the house, usually it's kitchen, living room, bathroom. And that's all the part of the house. We may not ask into other parts of the house, because like everyone else, our house is lived in. And I think it's sometimes the same way for our souls. That we want God to see the good parts of us, but he wants all of us. In Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we think of frustration and disappointment, think of it like an infection. That if it's left untreated, it'll spread through your soul, through your body, making you more prone to bad things. You get an infection, it breaks down your immune system and makes you more prone to more infections. Stress, anger, doubt, and together they can destroy body and soul. We have to start with ourselves and admit we're sinners, we're flawed people. We're subject to making mistakes like anybody else. Then we need to do what Jesus did to heal that child. He prayed. He told his disciples that type of malady, that type of injury, possession can only be fixed with prayer. How many things in our lives, inside the closet, the little things that we have that we don't want anyone else to see, the little things that make us more prone to having conflict with other people, how many of those are going to be gotten rid of without a good, honest conversation with God? Prayer doesn't have to be fancy. It just needs to be effective. God don't want the fancy words. He just wants the words from your heart. When we put, if our Savior puts that kind of value in prayer, what can it do for our lives? When we ask God into the dark corners of our soul, not just the front porch, healing can start. So many times, our ways that we are, they can be traced back to something, some kind of injury, something that happened to make us react how we react. Now, before we open the altars and go to the Lord in song, I'm wanting us to pray. And if there's someone out there dealing with chronic, frustrating circumstances, remember Jesus' example. It's okay to let a little steam out. Try not to start off with, you knucklehead, you blockhead, what were you thinking, stuff like that. Try to keep it from being in the gossip. And I had to battle this one myself this week. Because when I was talking to other people in my role, I wanted so badly to go, you know what they did. You know what they did. And it was hard. Because I really, really wanted to take this finger and just... And I had to look that and think about it, that I probably had a role in that too. It was the way that... Probably was the way that I explained it. There were a lot of... Just wasn't... A couple people at fault. And I couldn't blame anybody unless I looked in the mirror and added me to it. After the venting, take care of the problem. As some of my time at the bedside, I responded to codes all over the hospital, depending on what I did. As a respiratory therapist, there have been codes that I've gone to that you would see that this could have been prevented if the nurse had called out earlier, sooner. But you can't deal with that right now. You got to deal with taking care of this person, taking care of the problem. And it's very easy. We become outraged sometimes. And we want to lay blame. And we want to show how we right. But what did Jesus do? He knew he was right. Bring him to me. And he ended that suffering. He helped that child. Venting, take care of the problem. And then afterwards, did he scold his disciples afterwards? He taught them. If you're working with people and you want them to do better, there are some that they're just not going to listen. They're not. They'd argue with a stop sign. Their middle name should be right, and the first name's always. You're going to have some like that, but most people, explain to them, try and teach them if you can, if they'll let you. Even Paul said, if they allow you, in Romans 12. Even he knew some people wouldn't, but if you can, then you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you're following the example of Christ. And that's what we strive for. We'll always fall short of Jesus, always. But if you can take a page out of his book and try and handle stuff, man, that's a good thing. That is a really good thing. And like the Father, don't be afraid to say I need help with my believing. We all do. There have been times where my faith has been on empty. There will be times when my faith is on empty. Because I'm human. I need help with fixing myself and the situations I'm facing. And for anyone that may not know Jesus as his Savior, I want Jesus as my Savior and his peace in my heart. I know the struggles will come. We're never, ever, ever promised an easy road. But what we are promised, he'll be with us as we go through them. And I'll make it through all of them. If I can get by, stand with me, please. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and song, and the offerings and the altars are open. Heavenly Father, conflict and frustration and disappointment are part of this world. This is a fallen, flawed world. We are fallen, flawed people, but you love us. You loved us enough to send your Son into this world, to live in this existence, to shed his blood for us. A sinless, sinless being that came here and lived as a man and suffered so much and took on sins that were not his own. And Father, through his life and through his ministry here, we have your words and your just your way, his way of dealing with things. And Father, we just ask that you be with us. And when conflict arises and frustration arises, help us to act more like you and less like us. And Father, be with us, because all of us have battles and struggles that we're going through, Father, physical, spiritual, battles at work, battles at school, battles within our own families. Father, we just ask that you be with us and lead us and guide us and guide our words and guide our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.